the streets, the hustlers and drug dealers. If you question who we be, just tell them that God with us.
We gon' take it up. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in.
Music blasting for the black sheep, yeah, serious. They like how you build and still breaking all their barriers.
Tell me up, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. This one for the hustlers.
This one for the CEOs that used to be the customers. Knew it was gonna be big when winning season seemed impossible. Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner, and it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus,
what we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner, and it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
We gon' take it there. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in. DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. DJ Focus, tell him turn you up.
And we back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, Char Love, the unsaid truth. So come on, sis, talk to the people.
Look, you know, the millennials, they got their ears to the streets, and we want to know some topics. We want to know some things that's really burning, okay? So are we closer to God because we take communion? Now, we know Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:28, this right here, we have to examine ourselves before we go ahead and break bread and drink the grapefruit juice that the church has given out, right? But we want to know, just because I went out on Saturday and I come to church on Sunday and it's first Sunday and I don't take communion, does that mean I'm not closer to God? I mean, I examine myself at the door.
Okay.
Before I came, you know, I might have my club clothes on, but I examine myself, you know, I repented and now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know, like, are we not closer to God because we didn't take communion? Or is this just a midday snack at church?
Midday snack at church. That's that right there. That's a t-shirt. I'm going to get one of them made. Dice, I'm getting a t-shirt made. Midday snack. Lord help me. So I want to throw it back at you, Char. First, you know, do you feel any conviction from not taking the communion? Or why did you choose not to take the communion? Why do you think, whether it be you or your the millennials, why do you think they're choosing not to take the communion and they go to church and they know it's first Sunday when communion is served?
Well, I know for me, when I haven't taken communion, I felt convicted, like, oh, I did something wrong the night before, you know, being in the streets. And now I'm coming into God's house, you know, breaking bread with him. And I think a lot of millennials don't take communion because they feel that conviction from the pastors. Like, look, if you doing wrong, you sinning, don't even dare reach your hand to get one of them little cups and the little styrofoam chips. So wow. I feel a lot of millennials don't take communion because of that, the conviction from the church.
I'm going to be totally honest with you, Char. I have never heard a pastor say, don't take communion. So that's new. That's new for me. Shouts out for you for educating me, because I just don't hang in these circles where pastors say, don't take the communion. So,
well, it's not necessarily saying don't take it, but they're saying, like, if you haven't examined yourself, mm-hmm. you know, just don't. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, like, what do you mean examine? Like, I repented. I said I was sorry. So does that mean I'm not worthy of taking communion? Like, what's the whole point? Like, we know the surface. It is to be in remembrance of Jesus and what the price that he paid for our sins. So, but I really want to know, like, in depth, why? Whether I take it or not, like, am I not close to him?
So I think, you know, for me personally, and I think it's different for everybody probably, but for me, it is a profound example of me recognizing, you know, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So in that, it's a sense of reverence that I take it. So I'm be totally 100 with you. There were a lot of days I took communion, and yeah, absolutely, I left that boy and I was sinning, sin, sin, and still. But I still know that I was trying to get right, even though I wasn't right. So that's why I say, you know, I think it might be an individual thing. I was always taught to absolutely take the communion. It is to remember, like I say, remember God, but also for a fresh start. So, you know, that was something that, you know, was taught, you know, from my pastor and, of course, my mom and my grandmama and everybody. Like, yeah, get that fresh start. You know, you might have been fell off. You might have fell off the path and not doing right. But, you know, the communion will get you back there. And even if you're not there totally, that's still the goal. So for me personally, now, yeah, I'm going to take it. And to God be the glory, I don't do too much of nothing no more anyway, so I don't have to worry about, like, you know, taking it like I used to take it and, you know, going and smoking me one, or, you know what I'm saying, going to the club still or whatever it may be, because I just don't live that lifestyle anymore. But I will say, for me personally, it did help me, and it did build my faith, and it did start to help me to get to where I need to be personally with him, to another level, and the conviction and everything started coming even more, like, okay, I got to stop doing this. I keep taking this communion. I know I ain't doing right. I probably should, you know, change some of my behavior. And
when you came off the street, you know, Saturday night, you came into church, that cup convicted you.
Yes, it did. And it did. It did. I know you say, just the way you said it, it's like, it's not possible. Yes, it did convict me. And not even just the communion. I'll be honest with you. I think the service in itself, for me, at the churches that I were a part of, that first Sunday service, it was a complete service of almost like a deliverance service, just being honest. So it was hot church, praise and worship was like to the next level. Even sometimes we had guest soloists come in from different churches, or just, you know, different artists come in. So it was like really high church to get prepared to, like, okay, because we even used to go to the altar. So when we used to take our communion, we used to go to the altar and pray afterwards. So again, I think it's just every ministry might be a little bit different. And then also too, as well, it's an individual relationship. At the end of the day, it's an individual relationship. So yes, I think.
I know the church I've been to, they have, it's like a whole funeral service in a sense. And the people who aren't taking it are sitting down. You kind of like, well, why are you not taking it? Well, what sins you got? Like, you know, it's kind of like pushing them to the forefront, the people who aren't taking it. And it's like, oh, that's pointing them out. You're not taking it because you didn't examine yourself, or your sin, you did something wrong to the point where you're not taking it. So that's something I'm curious about. Like, why does it?
Now, have you ever asked any of the ones who are not taking the communion, have you ever walked up to them after service and maybe asked them personally, like, you know, why did you choose not to take communion today? I mean, is that something?
I feel like it's sacred. I feel like that's something you keep to yourself. For me, like, I feel like it's like a secret between you and God, and I don't want to infringe on that.
Mm, that's interesting.
You know?
I must talk too much then, because I'll be asking questions. I go up, I introduce myself, and I'll be wanting to know. So that's interesting, though, if you feel that way. So you've always felt that way, and you feel like even your peers and your circles always felt that way, that it's a sense of, like, that's like almost like, to me, it sounds like you're like, that's disrespectful to go ask them why they didn't take, you know, communion today.
Yeah, and I'm a very curious person, and I want to know things, but with that, it just... I feel a conviction, don't go ask, because they already feel outcasted because they didn't stand up to get the little cup off the little gold plate. So I'll ask my ace and be like, hey, why didn't you take it? And even then, I probably might even ask her, as close as we are, because I feel like that's something sacred. But I want to know, if they don't take it, if we don't take it, does that mean I'm less close to him because I didn't partake in this communion on first Sunday?
Come on, Dice. Because I know you got a lot to say.
No, I don't have a lot to say. I think this is a very good topic, though. So I appreciate y'all bringing this up concerning communion. But biblically, it's a commandment from Christ. So it's not even something that is debatable, or we should even be thinking about what other people are thinking about us if we take it or don't. And if we go to scripture, we can clearly see that. And he took bread. This is Luke 22, 19 through 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you, or which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. It doesn't say, drink this or eat, take this if you went to the club last night or didn't go to the club. It don't matter. It does not matter. And here's the deal. Collectively, we're supposed to do it together. So that's why, another reason why we do it together, the remembrance part, is so that we will remember what happened, you know, the night Jesus was betrayed, but he was communing with his people, with his friends. And so this is not optional, you know, like Jesus rarely says, do this, do that, you know, but when it comes to, hey, I need you guys to remember collectively together that this is what that looks like. So that's why we have it in that setting. And some people actually, you know, we have communion here at the house, you know, it just depends on where we are in life. And it's like, okay, family and friends, like, yeah, it's a sacrament. And here's the deal. You can make it optional if you want to, but when it comes to red letters, we doing this. I could be high, drunk. It don't matter what I am, because it's me. Well, hopefully it's us together collectively, but it's, I got to remember that Christ died for me, you know, and this is what he said to do. So we really don't have this option of saying, let me come up with my own idea of what I think this is. But for some reason, and it's not just probably a church maybe you've been to, Char, or even you, Focus, like, this is why we have to get in our word. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, what did Jesus say?
Right. And yeah, a lot of millennials, I've been to a church where they take communion every single day.
Let's get it.
And growing up in my church, it's on first Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that was something new for me, seeing a church take it every Sunday. I'm like, this is a little odd. But then seeing on the other side where some people aren't taking it and some are, mm-hmm, in the church, mm-hmm, and you see more of the older people taking it. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm, well, I guess the young people don't feel worthy taking communion because it's like, man, I know I was out sinning last night. I'm, mm-hmm, not worthy in God's eyes to take his, you know, to take part in this remembrance, you, mm-hmm, know, ceremony.
It should be a big deal for us. You know, it's a reminder of us having that exact moment of eating of the bread and drinking of the wine or grape juice, depending on what church you're at. Shout out to all y'all who got real wine. I remember the first time I went to a church and they had real wine. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. But
the Catholic Church always has real wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did y'all share one cup?
Yes, we did. Yeah. We did.
Listen, okay. he survived. He's made it. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm, I'm just saying, like, to me, I love communion for so many reasons, because the reason why we do it, one, is because Christ said to do it. Two, is so we will remember what had happened. But three, it's also so we will remember the next time we get to see his face or hang out, we're going to be communing like that together. You know what I'm saying? With him. Mm. Like, so that is why it doesn't really matter. You know, you can examine yourself all day, you know? Yeah, examine myself doesn't mean that I still don't do what Christ said to do. You know, but right. That's just it. The pause comes in before communion. Typically, that's why we try to set the atmosphere and really remember that moment. You know, like, oh man, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a big, it's the basis of our faith. It's the basis of our faith. So it's like, yeah, this is where it kicked off, homies. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. So I'm just excited. I look forward to it. I would encourage each and every person to look forward to it, regardless of what had happened even 5 minutes before, you know, but just get yourself in that place of knowing, yeah, I give myself to God. I follow what Christ said. And this is an example of the future of me being in heaven with Christ, eating and drinking, hanging out, whatever that looks like. You know what I mean? So it's communion is awesome.
I think millennials, and I think churches, have to do a better job at including everybody. You know, the older people, mm-hmm, in the church and the young generation. I mean, letting, mm-hmm, them know, like, you need to partake in this. Don't feel excluded. Please, because don't. You came in the door probably smelling like weed, or you're not dressed the part. Like, you're still, mm-hmm, a part of this church, mm-hmm, God's, mm-hmm, body. And I, mm-hmm, think definitely knowing that would help them a lot in knowing, like, okay, I'm good to take this. Like, mm-hmm, I'm not an outcast.
Mm-mm,
that's one thing that the churches can do a lot better at.
I agree. Absolutely. That's why I said it's good that you brought that up.
Real good.
Let's just get to it though. Who said to do what, when, where? Okay. Yeah, now give me my cup. Focus. Say and move out my way.
Please move out my way.
Give me my cup and my cracker and my juice bread, please. Whatever. Then bounce and get up off me. Yes, I'm here for it. On every single level.
Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, Char Love, Unsaid Truth. We got to go to a break. We coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
What's good, family? It's your boy, DJ Focus.
And it's your girl, Dice Gamble, in the building.
Wake up to the ultimate morning experience. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we are turning up the heat each and every morning with what you love. Laughter, music, and the hottest topics. Don't forget those exclusive interviews that you won't find anywhere else.
The Fix Radio Show is your go-to destination for the freshest music, the most engaging conversations, weekday morning, 6 a.m. right here on Sirius XM, channel 140, Holy Culture Radio.
And, of course, we're not forgetting our incredible Fix family. Expect those shout-outs, contests, and even more ways to interact with us.
Stay tuned because we got exclusive giveaways. You don't want to miss it. Follow us on all our social media platforms at The Fix Radio Show.
Yep, it's not just a radio show, it's a radio movement. The Fix Radio Show is 4 hours strong, so set your alarms to kick off your day the Fix way.
You ask for more, we're delivering. The Fix Radio Show, bigger, better, and all the way lit.
Yep, tune in and turn up with The Fix Radio Show, where every movement is a vibe. Tap in early weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The Fix is in.
And we out. I'm Dice Gamble from The Fix, and this is your News in 90. With the growing trend of flavored sodas, Coca-Cola has hopped right on board by creating a new permanent flavor called Spiced. Spiced will be available in its full sugar version and in its zero sugar version. Mixing the traditional Coke flavor with raspberry and spice, the goal is to keep up with competition from other brands that are adding in similar flavors. For more information, go to Coca-Cola.com today. And the skincare company Rode is getting into tech. Rode typically focuses on skincare that helps to keep your skin healthy, clear, and hydrated. Now, Rode is offering a lip case that will help you to keep your essentials in one place. You can sign up to join the waiting list now for the Rode lip case, where you can keep your essentials all in one place. Rode is offering this silicone case for your iPhone 14 or 15 Pro or Pro Max that has a special place on the backside of the case that can hold your lip treatment or your tint. For more information, go to RodeSkin.com today. And in AI, Sora is blowing the minds of many all over the world. Sora is available on the OpenAI platform, which is backed by Microsoft. Sora, the AI model, can create realistic and imaginative scenes from text instructions. Imagine seeing a real-time video be created as you're texting. For more information, go to OpenAI.com today. I'm Dice Gamble, and this has been your News in 90.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. One of the bright spots in the NFL this season was the play of Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. The rookie quarterback from Ohio State was the man with the master plan. He threw for 4,108 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 5 interceptions. No wonder the Pro Football Writers Association named him the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, Stroud also led the Texans to the playoffs, winning the AFC South for the first time since 2019, and the Texans will beat the Cleveland Browns in the wild card game. The storybook season would come to an end a week later as the Baltimore Ravens took care of the Texans, but Stroud's profession of faith in Jesus Christ and all of his interviews were something that impressed many people around the league, and the players and fans took notice.
I've gotten a lot of great people who have reached out, and even guys after games, like, who are who just talk about, like, how I mentioned God and Christ and things like that. And I always tell people it's not me, you know what I'm saying? It's him. Like, it's nothing I can do to ever repay what the Lord has done in my life, you know. And I don't want to. I just want to act in what he's called me to do, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes every day, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I know the God that I serve is a forgiving and graceful God, and I can just appreciate that. And even like Coach Harbaugh even saying that after the after they beat us, you can just see, like, there's a lot of us out here too that love the Lord, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I appreciate everybody who reaches out, and I'm not doing it to look cool or whatever. I'm doing it because that's what God called me to do.
C.J. Stroud reminds me of this verse from 1 Timothy 4:12 in the New Living Translation, which says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." I'll say it again. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and purity. I'm Justin Adams, and this has been your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Now back to DJ Focus and Dice Gamble as The Fix.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, Char Love, The Unsaid Truth. And we just talking about it today. Listen, Char, you've been dropping some gems. I do want to ask you. You talk about communion. Have you and your circle had a full study on what communion really is, and kind of like had an open discussion about it? Has that been like something like y'all been texting, or y'all got a little group chat? Because I feel like if we have more conversations about it amongst our circle, peers, the people we go to church with, maybe that can help, you know, this conversation to get to where you want it to be.
Most definitely. And I think that's what sparked this conversation, because my friends were asking, like, well, how do you know if I'm supposed to take it? I told them when I was a little kid, I wasn't allowed to, but it was kind of like that. Well, can I take it? So me and my cousin used to go on the back and used to eat all the leftover, you know, stale crackers and drink all the juice. And I'm like, we partaking in this, but I definitely do feel like it's a conversation that me and my friends have, because we're, you know, they were unsure about who could take it, and they did feel convicted and guilty. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't. You should take it. I feel like communion, oh goodness, hopefully I don't get canceled for this, but I feel like it's like a secret type of society type thing. Like, you have to be a certain level within your walk with Christ to take communion. Because I did, in a sense, like, when can I take it? Like, is it a coming of age thing?
This is crazy, because I promise you, I was 6 or 7. I'll be honest with you. Me, my cousins, everybody, we didn't have the real stuff. We had the Welch's juice, and we had our cracker.
Yep.
And I promise you, when my mama looked down that aisle, we didn't take it. It was smoke in the city. So I don't know. This ain't my experience. I promise you. I've been taking it all my... I don't know anything else. And I came up in a little small little Baptist church. Maybe that's it. Maybe the Baptists do it that way. But ever since I know, maybe first grade, second grade, I'm serious. Like, I can remember that young, me taking communion every first Sunday. Everybody had on white too as well. We had to wear all white.
Mm-hmm. All white.
Don't play.
I didn't take it as a kid. I think I started taking it when I got into high school.
That's okay. I mean, I think it's just like different levels of faith. Focus, you brought this up earlier. You were talking about building your faith. And I think this is a part of that. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, some people don't even, you know, they might come to Christ and never even get to the part of taking communion. Because in some places in the world, you know, you get killed for becoming a Christian, you know? I've shared it 1,000 times, like even us going to Haiti to do a ministry trip, like our pastor was very clear to say, these ladies or whoever is here at the church right now, they may accept Christ, but when they get home, that might be the end of their life, because, you know, people in the particular area we were in practice voodoo. And if a husband sees that a wife for sure went and did something without his consent, you know, that's he has the right to do what he needs to do. So some people might not even make it to the communion part. So we can't, you know, chalk it up like, you know, this is a must, because some people don't even get there. You know,
have you all ever had a conviction when you have? First of all, have you ever not taken communion at church?
No, ain't nobody doing that.
You know, I
know where I'm from.
I was in trouble.
I mean, it was almost like my church was very hospitable, you know, and I pretty much grew up at the same church. So if we, how say the mother's board, because they always led out in that really well. But if you didn't have a cup or anything in your hand, you know, while, because we would all do it together. That was like, mm-hmm. that's a part of it, right? So if you didn't have it, like, we kind of waited until everybody had something in their hand. And then as the pastor is reading scripture, we, you know, we, that's when we do what we do and we take communion together. So it, from where I'm from, the church I'm from, we never ever looked at it like, you know, all right, this person, now they must have been sinning. We just good. Let's go ahead and go. Like, we're gonna skip
that
over there.
So interesting.
Yeah, I don't understand that. So that's why I'm like, what?
Everybody in my church the same way. We was up and we had to stand too as well. I remember the
you gotta stand up.
The security or the deacon.
Unless you just couldn't
go to the church mothers. Yeah, go to the church mothers and help them up.
Yeah, they go to the mother's room. Yeah, like we had the mother's room with the new moms with the babies. So people would go in there and make sure they had what they needed, and we all did it together. So it, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think people have put the wrong idea on top of communion. You know, that's what I'm saying. We gotta stick. What did Jesus say? You know what I'm saying? What did he say? And we get the whole Paul thing, drinking unworthily, but that's to be interpreted on, you know, I guess per person. But I would honestly say, I think that is more of, don't just be in here because you was thirsty and you just need something to drink, and now you just turn it up. Because back in the day, their cups were way bigger than ours. Their bread was way different than ours. So, you know, it's like, you know, come on.
That wine was stronger too, Dice. I got to believe that wine was stronger. They had real grapes that they made that thing from, Dice.
Bro, I'm gonna be honest with you. If we was up in that room, you know what I'm saying? And we knew what was about to go down, I'm going to be like, I don't think it was grape juice for me, brother. I think it was going to be something a little bit stronger. I'll be like, Jesus, you made that up. Somebody, please pass me another cup. This is crazy.
Three of them. Lord help me.
Oh, my God.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm like, we're going to be communing all night because I just can't understand why we got to do this.
No, I agree with you. Char, I got to ask you. I know we've all seen the Lil Nas X J. Christ video.
Oh, man.
And we saw what he did with the video and how he consumed his communion and, I mean, dumped the whole thing in his mouth and just was going back and forth. What was your thoughts? Because, like, this your era. This your music. I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
You know, I don't want to say I'm ashamed and I don't want to judge, but I just feel like it's a little too much for me. I feel offended. You know, I saw his university acceptance letter and all this, and I'm just like, man, like, I've seen him in person at the VMAs. Right. And so it's just like, I heard about you messing around, you playing around with God. I don't want to be anywhere near you because that's something you don't play with. And it's a mockery, but we live in the last days and that's what the word says. So you really have to be in your word. But what he is doing is definitely causing confusion for those that are trying to walk with Christ, that are babies in Christ. And we as Christians, the real Christians, we really got to stand up and stand firm and stand on business with God and be like, this is what it is. And that's a no-no. I'm afraid, to be honest. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to be in his camp. Very much so.
I think if you go in hell, go all the way. Make it worth your while.
First class
ticket. Yeah, make it worth it. Because here's my thing. Hot or cold. Show me where you at. So I'm like, yeah. Go turn it up, bro. All the way up. Like, don't be lukewarm. We talked about that last week. Don't be lukewarm in the middle where I don't necessarily know where you at. You showing me where you at. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I get it. Like, I feel you when you're like, I wouldn't want to stand around him. I would just affirm what I'm like, bro, let me know when you want to do that the right way. Let me know.
Yeah, just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, you want to, like, help them, but at the same time, you don't know his environment. Like, for me, I'm all about, yes, I'm going to receive you, I want to help you, but if you playing around with that, that is something I was taught you just don't do. Like, I'm going to watch you from afar.
We don't. But that's why I said, we know better. We don't do that. People need to constantly remind him of that. This is not something that
it makes me sad. It makes me sad. It's like, you really messing around with my father. Like, don't do that.
I'm not sad. I'm like, go harder. Go harder, bro. Because you only going to be able to do that for so long. Think about it. You only going to be able to do that for so long before God just go ahead and wrap that up. So
but
that's
then you, it's like you get a front row seat to how Jesus was treated before he was crucified. The mockery, you know, just playing around. And so it makes your heart in that remembrance. It really makes your heart tender to Jesus. Like, man, like this is what happened to you.
I'm not tender. Bible say everybody ain't going to heaven. I just counted up as one of them ones. Oh, there you go. Thank you, God. I knew you said
we
everybody was coming, but
I see you there, buddy. We won't see you there, buddy.
Narrow road. It's a narrow road, and you not on it. So
what you got in the closing thoughts, Sean? How do you want to close this up? What do you want
to tell
the people?
I feel like the church should do a better job at including everyone. You know, the old saints, new saints, sinners, everybody, and making it inclusive instead of excluding people, and really teaching what communion is about and why we do it. Don't just read the scripture before we take it. Really, we need teaching. People are thirsty to be taught right now, and we need our pastors to do that because we dehydrated.
Wow.
Mercy.
Don said truth. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back with Mo. Keep it locked.
Wow.
You tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yeah.
Get money, money, make money, money, money.
Get money,
money, make money, money, money. Get money, money, make money, money, money. Get money, money, make money, money, money.
Welcome to Legal Hustle, sponsored by the Equity Movement 247. My name is Julius Cartwright. Today we're going to talk about retirement, IRAs, SEP, self-employment retirement funds, 401ks. But I have a shout out to my millennials. As a late Gen Xer, this is what I would say to my millennials and my Gen Z is, who wants to be a millionaire? I think that's everybody in the country. Who would like to be a millionaire? The easiest way to do that is the value of time and money. So this is what I shout out and I like to spit out to my millennials. If you're in 20, 25, 30, you need to put your money in an IRA. Because if you start putting $5,000 in that IRA now, over the next 20 years to 25 years, it would accumulate to $1 million, because that's the magic of growing, of compound interest. And that's what we're not looking at today. So make sure you look at retirement from a different perspective, because I think it'd be pretty cool to retire at 45 to 55 and not have to work if you so choose. Live right, live long. I hope this information you found was valuable, and you can find more information. You can join us at all our social media outlets for the Equity Movement 247. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, as well as Equity Movement YouTube TV. And The Fix is in.